Good morning, everyone. It is good to be here and good to see everyone. I'm happy that we're all here together. And, you know, it's not about us coming together to satisfy each other, but it's us coming together to worship God and satisfy Him. So, we are going to talk this morning about something that maybe would interest you, maybe not, I don't know. But the main subject this morning is crime. Crime. When people commit things, they break the law, they steal, they murder, or whatever, that's kind of what we're going to talk about, crime. And I'm not sure how many of you have been a victim of crime. I have been a victim of crime. This might not be a big deal to you, but it was kind of hurtful to me. I had a set of tires in my backyard with wheels. If I wanted to trade them out, I could switch tires on my cars and no big deal. I went out in the backyard one day and looked and said, hey, what happened to those four tires? I'm walking around the shed looking and I can't find them. Somebody came in my yard, walked off with my tires. Didn't have anything that I could tell the police. And I couldn't prove them I had them. Couldn't prove to them that anybody had stolen them. I just figured, well, that's a loss and a lesson for me. Need to keep valuable things or things that I consider valuable and not just leave them out in the backyard. They need to be locked up somewhere safe and secure. So, crime. So I mentioned a couple of things as I was looking around. I didn't have any clues, didn't see anything that I could prove anything with. So I felt like there was nothing much I could do. But luckily, there are other things that there are situations where there are clues to crimes. And there is a crime that was committed a long, long time ago, and I believe God has left us some clues to figure some things out. So how does it work when you look for clues? What does it mean when you find clues? How do you deal with clues? Well, there are a couple of shows that come on. I've seen a few of these episodes, but one of them is, and you've got CSI, the big crime show. I think another was NCIS. People watch those shows. It's pretty interesting shows. They talk about crime and solving mysteries, solving clues. And the show normally starts off, you get to see the crime, you get to witness what happens. They'll show you some computer graphics of what happens to a person's body as this crime is committed, and they'll show you who did it. And then the next scene, they're at the crime scene. Police are there, investigators are there, detectives are there, and they search and they're looking for clues. And it's always interesting to me how that all works out. So they just stumble upon things. They're out in the grass and they see something, looks like, oh, somebody's hair. Pick up a strand of hair with some tweezers, which they luckily had. Have a baggie they pull out, open the baggie, drop the hair in there, seal it. And we see some footprints, and we've got this hair, and we've got a cigarette butt, and we've got all these clues. We can figure out somebody's DNA. So they'll run to the lab, and they'll ask the doctor, hey, run this DNA. Who does this belong to? Well, that's Mike Jones. So we'll go to the computer girl. Figure out what Mike Jones' phone number is. And they'll figure out his cell phone number. Well, look at there. They start typing on the computer. We can triangulate and figure out where Mike Jones is right now because he's on his cell phone. And they do that. But Mike Jones is two blocks down the street. So they all gather their things and run out and they get Mike Jones and they interrogate. And, you know, within 40 minutes, the crime is solved. The other 20 minutes is commercials. So within an hour, they figure out where Mike Jones is, and you know everything's solved and wrapped up, and it's all nice, neat, and tidy. But normally in real life, what happens is you have a crime, you have eight witnesses, they see that the guy was driving a blue Chevy, the left taillight was out, they've got the license plate number, the guy was from let's say, Georgia. They've got a little blood that they found, they ran a DNA, and you're thinking, lickety-split, they'll get that guy. 3 weeks later, they come on the press conference and the authorities will say, well, we're still looking for this guy. Can't really find him. It takes weeks for that stuff to happen. But on the show, they can get it done pretty quickly. About 40 minutes, unsolved. But there was a crime that happened a long time ago that we have clues to tell whether there was a crime, whether something actually did happen. So, what crime are you talking about, Al? Well, this crime happened way back in the book of Genesis. And if you care to mark, I mean, you don't really have to use your Bibles. Most of the scriptures will be up here. But just want to make sure that I'm telling you the truth. Go ahead and open your Bibles. So back a long time ago, this was the situation. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and dwelt there. And I believe this is in Genesis chapter 6, I believe. Nope. You'd have thought I had the chapter on there. This is in the book of Genesis. So they went in this plain and dwelt there. And the people decided, they said one to another, let us go and make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. So what were they attempting to do? They wanted to build something. They wanted to build this tower. And they said, let us go and build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. So what was their reason for making this tower? Was it really to praise God? Was it really to do anything to benefit God? Nope. I have underlined, let us make us a name. So they were doing this for themselves. So how successful would they have been in completing this tower? I think physically they might not have gotten very far. You can only build something so high before it just collapses and can't support itself. So their goal was to build this tower to reach to heaven, and it was about making a name for themselves. So they wanted to make a name for themselves. So what did God do? It says, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men build. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, they have all one language, and this they began to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. So God actually came down and looked at this and was not pleased. And if he'd let this go on, they would have felt in their mind, there's nothing that we can't do. Once we accomplish this tower, we've gotten it to where we think it needs to be, we'll do something different. We'll do something that far exceeds this tower and this city. So that was their goal. That was their purpose. But God was not pleased at all. So God said in verse 7, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. So they stopped building the city, and they were scattered abroad because they could not communicate. They couldn't talk. They could not work together because they could not understand each other. Now that's just with one effort trying to build a tower. When he confounded their language, they could not do it. And I have seen how effective that is, this language barrier. I was in Best Buy a few months ago, and I guess as I'm always in a hurry when I get to the checkout, I'm just glad that I'm getting ready to leave the store. Just don't like to shop. So I get to the checkout, there was a guy in front of me, I think he was Middle Eastern, I'm pretty sure he was, and the cashier said, sir, I need some identification if you're going to use this card. And the guy said, and he had two young guys with him. And they were all talking, just mumbling and going on. And the guy said, sir, I need some identification. Can you show me something that proves that this is you? And he looked at the boys, and they were just going on talking. And, of course, I wanted to get out of the store, but I didn't know if that was how effective I would have been. Maybe I should have pulled out my driver's license and said, this is what he's looking for from you. So that was going on for about 5 or 6 minutes, and the poor cashier didn't know what to do. So the guy just reached in his pocket and pulls out $100 bills and was just giving this guy money. And I thought, wow, situation resolved. But I couldn't help. But just in that one instance, four people did not have a language. They had a language barrier. They couldn't even make a simple transaction to pay for money. So for this situation, for them to try to build something when everybody's speaking different languages would be a difficult thing. And as I've been in school, I've taken these different classes, and they talk about the origins of different languages. And this one started off here, and it branched off there. There's like an upside-down tree that everything branches off, and they think they all have it figured out. Well, I think this tells us what all happened. Goes on, it says, therefore, the name of the place, get my glasses on. Therefore, the name of it is called Babel, because the Lord did confound their language, and all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them and brought from abroad upon the face of the earth. So that is where we get our term Babel. And if you don't understand what somebody says, what do you say? Well, that guy was babbling. I don't know. I might have even said Babel when I was talking about the Best Buy thing. So that's where the term Babel comes from. Confusion. You can't talk. You can't understand. So that's where that comes from. So let's look in Acts. So I think I do have the scriptures listed in the rest of this lesson. So in Acts chapter 2. And I need to say thank you to Eric. If he hadn't gotten this thing fixed, this lesson would not have worked. So in Acts chapter 2, we see that some of the results. I mean, as we go through the Bible and read, we see that there are different nationalities, different cultures. They all have different languages, and we see that actually shown in the book of Acts. So in Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 3, it says, "And there appeared unto them," look at verse 4, "and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other languages," or other tongues, "as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language." So this kind of breaks one of those deals that we talk now, and we hear people that speak in tongues even today. They babble. They say things that nobody understands, saying this is what happened back in the first century. That is not what happened. What happened is these men were given the gift to speak different languages. And as they spoke different languages, the men that they were speaking to were able to understand each language that these men spoke. Verse 7, "And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How hear we every man in his own tongue wherein we were born?" And verse 9, talk to people that were there, the languages that they had. There were Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and all parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, and Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So this kind of shows that story, that account, that history account, historical account that we read about in Genesis, which had to be true, because there are different languages that people speak, and even languages were present back then. So what clues are you talking about, and where are these clues? Well, maybe somewhere in Canada, maybe somewhere in the United States. We have a little map there, just showing different cities, different locations. And even if you look in this big region here, basically everybody in this area speaks the same language. Most of that is an English-speaking place, except for at the bottom where you have Mexico. They speak Spanish. There's some Bahamas and Cuba and all these areas. They speak different languages. But the clues are not in any of these places pictured. The clues are somewhere else. Nowhere in the United States do you find these clues. But the clues are in China. China. So what is special about China? Well, China is officially known as the People's Republic of China. Their national flag is a red flag with 5 stars. It's a red flag with gold stars. China has the largest population. There's 1.3 billion people. A lot of people in China. So this numbers might be a little bit outdated. It seems like if you look at this and keep it up every month, the numbers really, really do increase very rapidly. So that is our concern, probably becoming an enemy of the United States. The reason is they have so many people in our little army compared to those people. How do we fight that big a number? So that's a big concern. China is a growing population. Their economy is growing. If you look at different articles, all the people that are buying up the big luxury cars, the Rolls Royces and all those cars, they're all going to China because their population, their economy is booming. Estimated population in the U.S. is about 315 million. China has 4 times more people than what we have. The only drawback, China, I think, has a little struggle trying to support that many people. I mean, there's a big landmass, but they still kind of struggle to support that many people. It's more facts about China. China's the third largest country by area. And the only countries that are bigger than that is will be Russia and Canada. So that's significant. Fourth largest country in the world by population. I'm sorry, largest in the country. The U.S. is the fourth largest country in the world by population. Let me say that one more time. Fourth largest country by land area. Third largest by population. So that's the U.S. compared to China. So China is next largest country to us land-wise. We are the third in population, but China is the first in the number of people in their country. China has the second largest economy behind the U.S. So that's significant. And that's what our concern is. There might be a day when their economy is bigger than ours, which means that the products that they produce, their net value, their worth would be better than the United States. That's America's concern. So there are a lot of different languages spoken in China. There's Mandarin, and I'm not even going to try to even name, you know, what these languages, even the name of the languages are. So there are several different languages in China. But one of the things that's interesting about these languages in China is they rely a lot on symbols. So they speak and they write things, they use a lot of symbology. Kind of like what we would see in Egyptian hieroglyphics. So all these symbols mean something, and when you put symbols together in a string, you can tell a story. You can get a point across. So that's the significance of the Chinese language. And that's not a lot different than what we have now. So in the United States and, you know, in most of the modern countries, we do have some things that when you see it, you kind of understand what's going on. There's a image for telephone, restaurants, emergency, fire extinguishers. When we see those things, you don't necessarily have to speak that language, but once you see that picture, that representation of something, you can kind of tell what that situation is, what the point they're trying to get across. So, I hope I'm not boring you, I hope I'm not taking you down a long path, but this will get somewhere. So again, the Chinese language, a lot of these languages are based and built upon when they have symbols, those symbols mean something. So let's look in, so we're going to actually look in the Chinese language. So let's look in Genesis chapter 1. And look at verse 26. Genesis 1, 26. And it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after the likeness and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So what was the beginning? So God created the heaven and earth, and he created man in his own image, male and female. He created them. So in Chinese, and I'm not sure exactly which dialect this is, but at the top left corner, you see that's the symbol for beginning. So there's a slash, and there's another couple of slashes that signifies the beginning. You might say, well, what's significant about that? Seems like that's not a very big deal. Until you break it down. So when they say beginning, beginning is the two slashes means two, plus that little U thing, there's a slash on the left and another on the right, means people. So in their language, beginning means two people. Why would that be? Why wouldn't they say beginning means the start or some other thing? But in their language, in their symbology, beginning, when you're going to start something, when you write beginning, you use that symbol breaks down into two people. And as we go along, if you think about China, what is their religion? It's not Christianity, it's not the Bible, it's not the church. It's they have their own, I think it's more Buddhist or there's something. There's like a national religion, which their religion even calls for the rejection of our religion. So if you wanted to go over to China to preach, you'd have to be kind of careful, because if their government were to understand that you were trying to do something, they would probably do their best to shut you down. And that's true in a lot of countries. So beginning means two people. let's look at something else. Genesis chapter 2, and 16, verses 16 and 17. It says, "And the Lord commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." So, their symbol for the word forbidden. So this is God's commandment. He told them that they could eat of all these trees, but they were forbidden to eat of one specific tree. They could not eat of that tree. So that is their symbol, top left, for forbidden. So I want you to remember some of these symbols, because they'll come up a couple of times. So what does forbidden mean? Little things at the top that represents trees or a forest. And the symbol at the bottom is a command. So forbidden means, in their language, a tree, a forest, on top of a command. Interesting. Now, the thing that's also interesting, when you ask them about these symbols, a lot of them won't have any idea. As far as Chinese people, they won't have any idea about the Bible or anything that's written by inspiration. They just know that, we just always knew that forbidden means there's some force and command. But they can't really put that back into and put it into context as far as what we're doing here. So that is their symbology, their symbol for something that is forbidden. So these clues, to me, are pointing back somewhere. Where would they get these specific symbols for these different ideas? They had to get it from somewhere. Desire or covet. Let's look in Genesis chapter 3, and verse 6. "And when the women saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." So there was a desire. She wanted to take of this tree. Verse, in the middle of the verse, a tree to be desired, to make one wise. So their symbol for desire, what do you see at the top? Remember that. There's two trees at the top of this. What do you think the bottom would be? Very interesting. So we have two trees at the top, and at the bottom is woman. So a forest at the top of that symbol and woman at the bottom. And again, when the Chinese talk this and they see these things, not necessarily anything to do with the Bible, just a forest and a woman. That's what desire means. To me, that goes right back to this verse that we talked about. The woman desired to take of this fruit in the forest, of this tree, which they were all forbidden to take of. So it all seems like it's kind of coming together. So in my mind, this is a little bit better than, it's a lot better than CSI. I mean, they've got all the technology and they can do all these things with DNA and trace things back and find some clues, but they're just solving one little mystery, one little crime. Maybe it's not a, relatively speaking, it's a small crime, but these things, they point back to some significant things that we know in our history that are true, things that we can read about in the scriptures. Hide. Chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden." Okay, let's look at that symbol. Is there anything that we see that's recognizable there? Well, on the bottom right-hand corner of that symbol, what does that look like? Tree, which we've seen a couple of times before now. So, in the left-hand side of that symbol means body. The top right side of that symbol means several on top of trees. So it sounds like they had a body, again, this is to hide, a body in the middle of a lot of trees. Because that's exactly what they did. They hid themselves amongst the trees. And it'd be different if they actually hid themselves on a rock, on some rocks, or went to some mountains, or went into a cave. They didn't do that. They hid themselves among some trees. And that's what that symbol hide looks like. Body to hide among several trees. Sweat. Now, of all the symbols we've seen so far, sweat is a simple concept to me. You work and you start having something drip off your head and maybe under your armpits and all. That looks like a kind of a complicated symbol. It's a little bit bigger than the rest of them we've seen. So let's look in Genesis 3:17. And this is God talking to Adam. He says, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and has eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Verse 18, thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the bread, eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread till thou return to the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So, their punishment, Adam's punishment, was he was going to have to work the ground. He was going to have to till this ground. And this is when God created thorns and thistles and other things that would inhibit crops. And what do farmers spend a lot of their time doing these days? Spreading herbicides and trying to kill all these weeds and picking out the bad stuff so that their good things can grow. But the main thing behind this is that Adam was going to have to work the rest of his life, and he would have to work to sweat. So I think about this quite a lot when I'm at work, because I don't normally sweat when I'm at work unless I'm in trouble. But it is kind of stressful. Work is stressful for all of us in one another. And this kind of points to why even work is supposed to, I think work is supposed to be stressful. It's not supposed to be easy. So when you go to work and you have troubles and tribulations, that's part of the deal. That's something that was carried down through Adam. Even though you might not sweat, you might have a lot of issues. So sweat, what is the symbol for sweat? So the left side of the symbol means sent out, because they were what? Sent out from the garden. They were offenders, which is what we see on the far right side of the symbol. And that symbol in the middle looks like a little dash with the two hashes at the top, is water. And what is sweat? It's water that comes from your body. So again, when a Chinese person looks at that, that's just their symbol for sweat. No big deal. But when we look at that and see how it's broken out and what all these little pieces mean, it makes a difference. So you have somebody that was sent out, they were an offender, and there was water involved, or the water that comes from their head. Destroy. Genesis chapter 6, beginning at verse 5. So these are all different accounts that we're kind of dissecting as far as certain words that came out. So Genesis chapter 6, beginning at verse 5. It says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the earth, for it repenteth me that I have made them. So destroy. Think of all the things that could have been in this symbol for destroy. Fire destroys things, right? That could be a symbol for fire. Earthquakes destroy. That could be a symbol for an earthquake. Tornadoes, hurricanes. It's all types of things. Just pestilence, drought. All these things are just destructive. They destroy. But what does this symbol break down into? So we see the far left hand, we see one. And that symbol on the right is moreover. So to me that means water completely. Water just did something bad. So that was their symbol for destroy, is water, moreover, or completely. Again, there's all these other things that destroy. But what was the one thing that destroyed everything? It wasn't a fire. It wasn't an earthquake. It wasn't a hurricane. It was a flood. So how would they put those symbols? Why would they put those symbols there unless it went back to something previously? This one I thought was very cool. So let's look in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 7. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Let's go into the New Testament, the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll look at verse 7. It says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared the ark for the saving of his house. by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So basically God, Noah believed to the point where he was building this ark for something that was going to come that he had never seen. What are you talking about? Rain. It's not rained before, but Noah had that faith to believe. So what do we see here in this symbol? This symbol means ship or vessel. So on the far right, far left-hand side of that is a ship. The symbol at the top right means eight, and the bottom symbol means people. Eight people in a boat is their symbol for a ship. And again, if you ask somebody there, that's just the name for symbol. That's just the name for ship. That's the symbol for ship. What it means, eight people in a boat. Just the way somebody decided that was going to be. So even though they don't know God, for the majority of that country, when they have these symbols, they understand what these symbols break down into. And that's the way they capture those thoughts and ideas. Tower, Genesis chapter 11. So this is where we started off our story, our lesson this morning. Genesis chapter 11. So we've already read through that. They said, let's go to one another, make bricks, and build this tower. They were going to make a city to reach God, and they were doing it for their namesake. So their symbol for tower is, so far left is dust, there's grass, and then there's people in the middle. One, that one symbol going across, and then mouth. So their concept of tower all combines with dust, which would be where man was made from, grass, part of that, making those bricks, people with one voice, one mouth, one language is their symbol for tower. Why wouldn't tower be something about wood or bricks alone? And they added this concept about one mouth, one language, one voice, which is what they had, and when they were building that tower, it's one voice, one language. One purpose. This is their symbol for tower. Confusion. We read in Genesis 11, God went down and confounded their language. They might not understand their languages. And God scattered them abroad. So this is their symbol for confusion. On the left, you have tongue, and then on the far right, it's a mystery. Just like when I was at Best Buy, there was confusion. There was just four of those guys was all confused because they had a language barrier. This is what confusion means in their language. And that's one. God told them that they were, once he confounded their language, that they scattered abroad. And this is their symbol for migrate, which is to move from one place to another. Thousands walking. Thousands of people walking. So once they had their language confounded, I'm sure that was a confusing day. So as they were all chattering, I'm sure they had to figure out somebody that I can understand. Oh, I understand what she's saying, and I understand what he's saying, and maybe since we understand, we'll talk about what happened and figure out, and we can't understand what she's saying, and don't know what's in the heat. So it sounds like they all decided as they grouped together, let's all the Chinese guys go this way. All the people that are speaking English, we'll go that way. All those people that are speaking Jewish this way, and they all scattered. And that's how the earth was populated, all because of something man decided he was going to do. And I kind of feel like we're kind of in that space now. What do we have that we just are so proud of? We have the internet. That's ours. That's for us. We built it. We made it. We have space shuttles. Or we used to have a space shuttle, but we still have a space program. And who is the space program for? United States for us, so we can beat Russia. So we can, it's not about God, it's about us. And I still feel like we still kind of have that mentality that we're just doing these fantastic things for our benefit, not for anything that God is in. I'm not saying that those things are wrong in itself to have a space program and to do all these things and have the internet. But in some people's mind, that in my mind, they just feel like God is out of it. We built that space shuttle, we went to space, we did it. So that's the fear I have of us when we think of our own ends and our own means, but and not give God the credit. So that, if you look into this and just Google God's word in the Chinese language, you'll find a lot of these symbols, and this just it just goes on and on. So the neat thing about all this is gospel preachers are to China and have had these interactions. And the reason I know is because I know a good brother that's a gospel preacher that told me about it. That brother sitting right there, Brother Craig, he's talked to gospel preachers that have been to China and have had this interaction. So when they talk the gospel and they say, and they read, eight people were on a ship that were saved with Noah and his family. Eight people on a ship. We have a symbol for that. And so that means, that's what that means. You mean hide means people were in a, taking, you know, hiding their bodies in a forest, and when you read that to them, that's what that symbol means. And I think a lot of times it clicks for some of them. I'm sure there are others that just will not think a second thing about it. But for a lot of people, when they really look and they open their hearts and they see that their language has all these ties back into these biblical accounts, I think they can be quite amazed. And it even amazes me that that is that way. So what I would what I think happened is, as the Chinese language was developed, they knew these stories. They figured their language and developed these characters, these representations, and it carried on. The symbols and the meanings carried on, but the reason behind it got lost. They forgot about there being a Noah and a flood and there being a Garden of Eden, but the symbols carried on. To me, that is a very nice, cool clue that we can take that data, that information, and link it back what we read in the inspired scriptures. So that is the lesson, but just a few last things to think about. If we look, think about God and the Chinese characters, God has shown his power in great and obvious ways just by looking at the sun and, you know, knowing that if the earth was tilted just 1 degree one way or the other, that we couldn't support life. To me, that's, some might not think it's obvious, but to me that's obvious. But he's even shown his ways in these non-so-obvious ways, these kind of ways that, you know, just don't jump out at you. You have to kind of dig into it a little bit. But he's showing his will, his way, even through those things. Again, he's given us clues to link us in our history to the past. That when you think about all these symbols and how they match up with the Bible, you can't go back to find one person that intentionally did all this just so that we can prove the Bible. It's just the way it happened. It's God's way of showing us that he's in control. And again, God's not going to force us to believe or obey. That is up to each individual person to make that designation or that determination. But God has shown us so many things that it just doesn't seem obvious or doesn't seem logical that we wouldn't obey, that we wouldn't believe. And finally, God has given us all things we need for salvation. So everything that we need to obey, to receive his gift after this life is over, he's told us about it. Explain the Bible, and even to those that are in different countries in various ways, he's given us that information. So God has shown his power and greatness in obvious and maybe not so obvious ways. So that is a lesson. I hope it made an impact on you. When I look through this, it made an impact on me. I'm thinking, wow. And I only gave you a few of these symbols. There are dozens of these symbols that just make you wonder. Well, not necessarily wonder, it just makes you say, this is true. God's word is true. The things that have happened in the past. And I hate calling these stories, these accounts, this history book. And I think if man would look at this as a true history book and not just a story book, you know, Hansel and Gretel's a story. Jack and the Beanstalk, another story. Not anything true about them. They might have had some inklings of some guy named Jack that, you know, got in trouble for selling a cow and getting beans. I don't know that the beanstalk grew and he saw giants, but there might be some inkling of truth in some of those fairy tales we read. But these are definitely true accounts of what happened in the history of Earth, the history of God. So with that, I hope this has been a useful discussion for you. It was, again, good for me as I got this prepared. I hope you got something out of it. So if there are those that are subject to the invitation this morning that need to become members of God's body, of Christ's body, you have that opportunity to do so. If there are others that need to ask for prayers, support, or just any type of help from the group here, you have that opportunity to do so. You know, I mentioned Wednesday. Again, there's a commander, there's a Navy captain that used to be our commander at Crane, you know, he had some stomach troubles for 3 or 4 weeks and went to the doctor, and they said, you've got cancer, stage 4. And they said they don't believe he'll make it past Thanksgiving. They don't think he'll see Thanksgiving this year. Just within a month, you know, he just went down that quickly. And again, that's not a scare tactic. That's just life. That's just the way things are. We don't know how long we have. I've got an aunt, she's 93, went to see her Friday. She's not eating, not, you know, not doing well. They don't think she'll be around for another 3 or 4 days. So I bet you if you were to ask her, if she were able to talk, was your 93 years a long, 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 long time? She'll say, nope, it went just like that. And I'm sure anybody that's of any age, they'll tell you that 100 years, 120 years, just went that quickly. So with those things in mind, if there are those that are subject to the invitation, please come forward and let your wishes be known as we stand in the same page, 909. There's a